welcome to Section 9. My name's Damien Hull, and I'm here with Dorothy.
Hello.
And we're recording this on December 18. And we have a new project today. We're going to be talking about our firewall project that we've been working on. And what we're really doing here is two things. We're learning about firewalls, but we're also going to review the Cisco network lifecycle. Because Dorothy had her wireless project that she was working on, and she had trouble trying to figure out how to use that Cisco network lifecycle to help her with her project. So again, we're going to be reviewing the prepare, plan, design, and implementation phases. Now, there is also the operate and optimize phases, but for our particular project, we're not going to be worrying about those. So do you want to talk about what we're doing and what you had issues with your wireless project?
Sure. One of the reasons that, I thought I did really good on the prepare stage because I was looking at the Network Plus book on how to, do the prepare stage, but it became real clear to me when I started moving into the planning phase that I didn't have everything that I needed. I didn't know what questions to ask. So, when I was talking to Damien, he says, well, let's just do this. Let's do the firewall project. We'll do it together. We'll go through the network cycle, life cycle, and, we'll put it all together so then you can go back to your wireless project and do it. So the first thing for the prepare stage that he had me do was, okay, what is our goal? So our goal for this particular project that we're doing for us is just going to be to learn about firewalls. But can you give an example of on a production environment, where would you get your goal, what that goal may have been, to be able to apply this?
So in a production environment, working for a company, your goal has to be business oriented. There has to be a business reason for that particular goal. So you may have management come to you and say, okay, IT, we're going to be hiring 100 new people. You need to be able to support those people. So you're going to have maybe new devices, new computers. You want to purchase new hardware to support those people. So the purchase of that new hardware is based on a goal that is business oriented, right? Management is coming to you and saying, we need to hire 100 new people. IT, you need to support them. So that's the reason why you're going to buy the new hardware, is to support those people. That's a business reason for that. Now, you may also have IT management say, okay, we have old equipment that needs to be updated. Let's go ahead and do that. There is a business reason for that. We have outdated equipment. Let's go ahead and update.
All right. So, building on that, one of the things, if you're going to update network equipment or you're going to implement or learn about firewalls, one of the things that you need to do is know your hardware requirements. So that's also part of the prepare stage. In our particular case, we needed to know if we're going to be using a hardware or software firewall. Do you want to explain the difference?
So a software firewall is something that you have. It may be part of the operating system. So if you install Windows 10, it already has a firewall that's built in. You can always turn that off and implement a third-party firewall solution, and that's going to be some software that you install onto Windows 10. And there's also a software firewall for Linux, and that's IP tables. And so those are examples of software firewalls. A hardware firewall is a device that you plug into the network. So you may have a Linksys or ASUS router that could be considered a hardware firewall. Now, for an enterprise environment, you're going to have Cisco, Meraki, or Palo Alto. They're companies that actually build or sell hardware firewalls. And again, that's something that you actually plug into the network.
So for this project, Damien got, for the hardware, he got a mini PC, and he chose OS for the operating system, the pfSense, which is a software firewall, is it?
Yeah, so pfSense, and Dorothy's not familiar with any of this because she's never done this before, but pfSense is an operating system that has some firewall features in there, and it's actually a specific project that a company put together. You can download it for free, or you can get support, and you can actually buy hardware that already has the software installed. But we're going to call this a hybrid solution because there's an operating system that you have to download and install onto hardware. So you're managing both software and hardware in this particular case, and then you're plugging that hardware into the network.
Right. Another aspect of the preparation stage was Damien wanted me to use the OSI model for the networking part of it.
Right. And this is, again, just like the network lifecycle, the OSI can be used, at least in my case, this is what I do with it. It's a checklist to help you figure out what are some of the things that you need to do in order to make this particular piece of equipment function properly on the network. So you want to go through the different layers that we need for this particular project?
Sure. So in looking at the device for layer one, which is the physical layer, we need to look at the cables, the NICs, LAN ports. Layer two, which is the data link layer, we have MAC addresses, VLANs, switches, Ethernet protocol. For our project, basically, we're just only going to worry about the MAC address because we're not doing it in a production environment, you know, on an enterprise level. So we're not going to do VLANs. We're not going to use no big switches or anything like that. Layer three, which is the network layer, we're going to need IP addresses. We need to worry about routing, and we're going to implement NAT, the network address translation. So we'll be looking at that part of it. And layer four, the transport layer, will be TCP, UDP, and PAT, which is port address translation. And those are things that, you know, we're going to be looking in our prepare stage to be able to do what we need to do. Then we decided to move into the plan stage. That one is kind of interesting. Damien had some questions for me to ask during this stage. And as we did, one of the things that I found is that they were the preparation phase as well as the plan phase were mutually inclusive. And I'll say why. There were things that we were doing in the planning phase that all of a sudden is like, wait a minute, we need to go to the preparation stage and try to figure out what it is that we were missing and we didn't do because it didn't come up until the planning stage. So all of these, I think even all four of them, are mutually inclusive in some ways. But it's nice that they're separated the way that they are, because if you try to do it all in one lump thing, it can become really overwhelming. So going back to the plan phase, one, the first questions that we ask, what are the hardware requirements for pfSense? So we found that the minimum requirements for the CPU was 500 megahertz and for RAM was 256 megabytes. So the recommended actually for the CPU was 1 gigahertz and for RAM was 1 gigabyte. But we're going to put on the show notes, there's a CPU selection. And do you want to explain kind of why we want to take a look at what kind of CPU to select for this kind of thing?
So when it comes to network equipment, whether that's a router or a switch or a firewall, there's some things that you have to take into consideration. How many people are going to be using that, and is it going to be able to keep up with the workload? So in a firewall, you have a couple things you have to think about. How many people are going to be using the firewall, and is it going to be able to keep track of all of the traffic that's going through the firewall? And then you also have to take a look at the bandwidth usage. So what is your internet connection and how much bandwidth do you have and how much do you need in order for people to get their work done?
Right.
Is the firewall that you have chosen going to be able to handle all of that? And that's something that's kind of difficult to figure out. So on the pfSense website, in their documentation, they give you some ideas that you can use to sort of figure out what kind of processor to have in your little PC or your computer that you're using for pfSense to be able to handle a certain amount of traffic or bandwidth on that particular system. Now, if you buy a hardware firewall from somebody like Cisco or Meraki or Palo Alto, you can actually tell them, hey, I have 500 users. I have this kind of internet connection. This is what we want to see in terms of performance. We may be growing in another couple of years. So they're going to be able to take that information and tell you what firewall to purchase based on the information they give you. In our case, because we're doing this all by ourselves, we may have to look at that little chart that they have for pfSense to figure out what we want to do. Now, we're really just doing this to learn something, so it's not really a big issue for us at this point.
Yeah, but you're going to put the link in the show notes for people to look at it in case they want to do this.
Right, we'll have links in the show notes so you can take a look at all of this.
Okay. So back to the plan phase. Second question was, how are we going to connect the firewall into the network? You know, besides the physical ports and the cables, you know, we have our safe zone where, you know, I was doing some of, you know, I was getting it set up a couple of episodes ago. So we need to know the network address for the LAN side and the default gateway. And I also had to do a diagram on how, you know, the device was connecting into the network, you know, to be able to kind of, you know, have a clear picture of what I was trying to accomplish. So that's
Right, right. So this is something that Dorothy's kind of learning how to do. How do you think about projects like this? And even though we have that Cisco network lifecycle, mm-hmm. what do you need to understand in order to put all of this together? What do you need to be able to fill in the gaps on this thing? And basically, the Cisco network lifecycle is a checklist so that you kind of check certain things off. So when you get to the implementation part of it, you have everything figured out, or most of it, so that when you get to the implementation step and you're actually, you know, installing something or adding something to the network, it's a pretty smooth process. You have most of what you need. So in this case, she has a little diagram that she's putting together, a picture of how this thing is going to connect to the network. Where's the WAN port? What IP address does it have to have? What's some of the network information I need to know? On the LAN side, what are some of the things I need to know for that piece of the project? So those are the kinds of things that we're trying to look at here.
And which brings me to the next question. You know, what IP and network addresses are we going to need for the device we're trying to implement? So we needed to have a static IP address for the device. And we needed to determine a pool of addresses that needed to be reserved. And we also needed to determine if any of the addresses on this little project needed to be DHCP assigned. So we had to look at all of that.
Right. And some of this we didn't really know until mm-hmm. we started part of the implementation process.
Right.
So what happens when you install pfSense? We don't know because we haven't seen this before. Years ago, I actually did installations of pfSense to play around with it. But it's been so long that I don't remember exactly what the process was. So
that was our next question. How do you install pfSense? You want to get
into
that?
Right. So let's go ahead and talk about that. So part of our planning phase here is the hardware requirements, which Dorothy already talked about. And so I went ahead and ordered something. And this is something I had already purchased. But I understood enough about firewall projects to know that for most of what we want to do, this will work out fine. So this is what we got for hardware. We have a Quotum mini PC, 4 Ethernet ports. It's got 8 gigabytes of RAM, an Intel Celeron processor. It's quad core and it does 2 gigahertz and it goes up to 2.42 gigahertz. And then for storage, we have a 500 gigabyte Samsung mSATA drive. So this is going to work for most of the firewall projects that we have. And it's a lot more than the minimum requirements that Dorothy was talking about a minute ago. So that's going to work in our particular situation. And then we have the installation process. So here's where we get into, you know, how do we download the software and install it? So to download this, when you go to their website to download it, there's a 32-bit version and a 64-bit version. So I got the 64-bit. And then there's a bunch of other options in there. You want an ISO, or if you want, you can get the memstick version, and that's going to be installed onto a USB flash drive, and then you can do the installation from there. So I got the memstick version, and then we followed some instructions on installing that onto our USB flash drive. And for that, we use DD, and there's a couple of things you have to do. First, use DD to clean up the drive, and in the instructions, they actually give you the correct commands for this, so you don't have to look them up yourself. And then there's a DD command you're going to use to actually put the image onto that USB flash drive. And you want to make sure that you don't install it on the wrong device, because right. with Linux, it can be kind of confusing as to what device you're installing things on. And if you pick the wrong one, you're going to wipe out your operating system on your laptop or workstation that you're using for this particular
So double check, situation. Triple check if you have to. You just want to make sure you don't want to wipe out anything important.
Right, right. So once you have it installed, then you can plug this into your little mini PC, and then you go into the BIOS, and then you have to select the actual drive. Now, in our case, the little mini PC that we have, there's no boot menu. So you can't go and click on some buttons and bring up a boot menu, select the USB drive, and then just boot into the installation. You can't do that. So you have to go into the BIOS. And for us, it was a little tricky. We had to spend, you know, 5-10 minutes figuring out how to get the right thing selected. And it was actually in some sort of hidden menu where we could see the USB drive, select that, and then make that the primary boot device so we could get into the installation process. So once we did that, we were able to go into the text menu for this particular installation. And what we did was we configured the WAN interface and the LAN interface, and we added IP addresses. And then it also asked us about the DHCP server for the LAN side of the network. And that's where you get into situations where your network lifecycle process becomes fluid. So now we're in a situation where a question is being asked kind of in the implementation phase of things that you weren't anticipating. So based on some of the information we'd already gathered, our IP addresses and things in the planning phase, we were able to figure out, okay, here's our IP addresses for LAN and WAN. And then for the DHCP server side of things, here is a start address and here is a ending address for that DHCP pool of IP addresses that will be handed out to clients on the LAN side of the firewall. And you also want to talk about the IP addressing information that they asked for when you set up the WAN and LAN interfaces?
That was really interesting because when I have set, when I configure a router and had to add an IP address, you put the IP address and then the net mask, the subnet mask. You know, in this particular configuration, it was interesting because it asked you just for the IP address. And then on the next question, it asked you for your number of bits. So you wouldn't have to put the 255, it just wanted the CIDR notation. So you know, and these are the things like Damien was saying, all of the faces on this, they're fluid, you know, you can be on one that you're never really finished with any of them until your project is over. Basically you go, and when you do your documentation, one of the things that I found, I continuously had to add to the planning stage, you know, to the prepare stage and just kind of, you know, make sure that nothing is completed until your project is completed because things are going to come up.
Right, right. And one of the things that, you know, as Dorothy was talking about, where you have to add in that CIDR notation for the interface, the thing that you need to make note of there is that in situations like this, when you're moving over into more of that enterprise level networking situation or working with enterprise level devices, and in this case, I would call pfSense more of a network or a enterprise level operating system, and the whole firewall itself is more enterprise. They're going to ask you for things that a lot of IT people don't know yet, you know, because they haven't looked at the network side. So you have to understand network addresses, IP addresses, and subnetting, and what CIDR notation is all about.
Well, and then not only that, when we did the pool of addresses to be reserved, you know, again, on the router, you go from the starting address to the ending address. On this one, it was like, give me just the starting address. Okay, now give me the end address. You know, so it was very, very specific.
Right. And Dorothy knows some of these things already because she studied for her Net Plus and for some other certifications in the past. And one of the things that we spent a lot of time on is subnetting on the IPv4 side of things. So she can do that. So she can look at some of these things and go, okay, I know what's supposed to go here. Let's put it in. So that's something to take into consideration as you go and work with these enterprise level devices. You need to know some of these things.
Yeah, no, I find that my subnetting, thank God I have it down pat.
Yeah, yeah. And then, so let's see, this is kind of getting a little confusing here with our project because we got a lot going on. So we did our installation. We had our text-based installation process where we configured the WAN, the LAN, the DHCP server. Once we had that set up, we went ahead and rebooted the box and we tried to connect it to the network. So we're kind of in that planning implementation phase where we're sort of sliding off the planning phase into the implementation phase. Now, for the implementation phase, there's not a whole lot to do because as Dorothy talked about, we're using our safe zone, which happens to be our Cisco integrated service router that's plugged into the rest of the network. So on the safe side of that router, it doesn't really matter what we do there. Because if we make a mistake, it stays only in that area.
Right.
So for our firewall project, all we really have to do is plug in the WAN side to the Cisco router and then plug a laptop into the LAN side of our new firewall, and then we did some testing. Well, we ran into an issue with our particular device that we're using for this, that mini PC. The BIOS didn't work. So we had to take it off, plug it back into the monitor.
For every port.
And it was just weird because we couldn't figure out for about 10 minutes or so why we couldn't get any information off the box. You know, Dorothy was looking at ifconfig on her Linux laptop and checking out the IP address. And what we were doing is we were waiting for that Ethernet interface or that network interface card to get a DHCP assigned address. And we didn't get one.
And it wasn't. I mean, and the weird thing is we tried every single port. And then when we plugged it back in to see about the configuration. All we could get was the BIOS.
Right.
It didn't boot up or anything.
Right. So we actually disconnected it from the monitor, thinking, okay, we're good. Everything's ready to go. Mm-hmm. Let's plug it into our router and let's do some testing. Well, that's where it didn't work. So we took it off the Cisco router, plugged it back into the monitor because we wanted to see, okay, what's really going on here? So once we did that, that's where we figured out that, okay, the BIOS is just coming up. It's not actually booting into the operating system.
Right.
So one of the things I've seen in the past is when you have a BIOS that doesn't work properly, there's usually like an optimized settings option in there or a default settings option. So we told it to apply the default settings or optimized settings and save them. And then once we did that, the system actually booted into the operating system. We got right. pfSense up and running. We plugged it all back into the Cisco router. And then we did some testing from the laptop side. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, but before we move on to that, when we do plug in into the monitor, let them know it's a VGA cable.
Oh, right, and right.
We had plugged in the dongle for our keyboard as well as, you know, when we were trying to install the operating system, the USB stick, and it was pretty tight.
Yeah, and it kind of depends. You know, we were trying to figure out why it wasn't booting from the USB and all of that, but,
right.
You know, it doesn't matter which USB port you plug into, it should be able to see that. So
Correct. You
should have enough space in there, but we didn't know that at the time, so we were trying to move it back and forth and get the installation process going.
Yeah, we can hear
so, that. You know, in all of the projects that you do in IT, sometimes you run into situations like that where you have to move things around and try different things to make it work. But also that VGA issue is something that we also want to talk about as well. This particular mini PC only has VGA. It doesn't have HDMI. It doesn't have DisplayPort.
Right.
So I happen to have a Dell monitor that has all the ports. So I have VGA, I have HDMI, I have DisplayPort. So I can plug in anything I want into this particular monitor. And fortunately for us, that was a good thing because, again, this only has VGA.
So if you're going to invest in it, you need to know that that is what it's the only option that it has for that. So you don't buy something and get stuck buying it and not being able to use it.
And there is a VGA to HDMI option that you
Correct.
Can get. It's a cable that you buy that will allow you to do that. But again, that's something extra
cost,
you have to,
yeah.
to purchase for that particular
So anyway,
situation.
We put it back. We plugged it into the router and we plugged my laptop in it and we test the connectivity. In, you know, we were able to make sure that all the, you know, all the devices could see each other. We also were able to ping a Google server, 8.8.8.8. And then we were also able to access the web interface for the wizard on the
Right,
firewall,
right. So she was able to bring up her web browser, punch in the IP address of the firewall, bring up the web interface.
Right.
And then once you're in the web interface, when you log in for the first time, there's a wizard that comes up. And what we did in our particular situation is we said, okay, we've done enough for the day. Let's cancel this thing.
Right.
We'll come back to the configuration later on. So for us, we pretty much are done with our project now.
Right.
Later on, we're going to go back to that and figure out, okay, what can we do with this particular firewall? What kind of options do they have in the web interface?
And look at the configuration.
And look at the configuration at that point.
But basically, you know, what we needed to do with this, we did get it done and it ended up working with a few glitches.
Yeah. So again, we went through the Cisco network lifecycle.
Mm-hmm.
We went through prepare, plan, design, implement. We mushed all of our stuff around a bit to make it fit our project, mm-hmm. made sure that we gathered enough information, did our planning, went through the implementation process. And also, I think we skipped over design. But one of the things that I think we need to go back over here is that for this particular project, there's not a whole lot of designing that we have to do.
Right.
So, you know, for the design phase, it was just you had a diagram that you put together with the WAN and the LAN and the IP addresses and all of that. So, you know, again, you're kind of mushing some of this stuff together. And we actually did the design in the planning phase. So, again, you can kind of mush all of this together. The whole point that we're trying to make here is that your IT projects are going to be complex. There's lots going on, even in a small project like this one. So the idea here is that the Cisco network lifecycle is going to help you manage that project so that when you do implement something, whether that's a new server, a new piece of network equipment, or in our case, a firewall, it's going to go smoothly and you're not going to damage anything on the network. You're not going to take things offline by not having or not being prepared and then just implementing something and causing some sort of issue on the network.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing is don't set yourself in stone for every phase. They all kind of complement each other and they're all kind of tied together. So, you know, don't be afraid to have to go back to the prepare or the plan or to do your design on the plan stage. As long as you can see it, the whole picture, you know, is useful as a checklist, just like the OSI. I always think of that as a checklist within a checklist because it kind of keeps me honest when it comes to when I get lost and I don't know what device am I working on? What layer of the OSI? How am I doing this? Did I skip a step? That for troubleshooting and for putting things together has been immense help for me. So, and I'm still learning. So, do you have anything else?
So in the next episode, I think what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some of the extra features that we have or how to configure the firewall, the pfSense firewall, to get it to do some certain things and make sure that your network is actually secure. And we may also talk about some of the extra features you can add into pfSense to make it do more than what it does by default.
That'll be nice.
So I think that's it for now. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode.